You've found an encore presentation of the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI.
You found the Taxi Stand Hour. On Radio TFI.
So I wasn't quite ready at the gun. What do you expect, perfection here or something? Come on. Hey, how you doing? You're listening to the Taxi Stand Hour on Radio TFI, kind of like the like you didn't hear the announcement say. Good morning. I'm John Shannon. Ed Van Ness is escaping the mean bitch called Irma. Yes, he is. He is, right now, as I understand it, in northern Florida. He originally said he was going to head for Biloxi, Mississippi, but it looks like, as of this morning, we're finding out that Irma is actually taking a more westerly course and now is heading for heading towards the west coast of Florida. It's still going to go through the Keys, it looks like. But as people have been told, Governor Scott was just on, just did a press conference here about 15 minutes ago. And it was basically said that you're still not going to, just because it looks like Miami might be spared a direct hit, that doesn't mean they want people coming back to the east coast of Florida. This is still a really dangerous storm. Very dire predictions for those who have not evacuated the area. Our thoughts and prayers are with people who are still. Goodness, I hope people aren't still hanging around in the Keys area. As it was very bluntly put on CNN, there's going to be people that are not going to be with us come Monday morning if they've decided to try to ride out the storm in the Keys area. It's terrible. I've seen pictures of what's happened out in the where Irma has already been, out in the smaller islands. You have to see it to believe it. And this is going to be a direct hit into Florida. And we're all pulling for everybody there. A lot of people took the heeded the warnings, if you will. But there's still those out there who are don't want to leave their homes for whatever reason. I don't know. But there we are with that. Oh, and by the way, Ed is going to join the conversation here a little bit later on. He is mobile, and I think that his main fear is that now we're going to have a very important guest, one of the most important guests we have had so far on this show. We've been pretty excited about it. That is from Toronto, Beck Taxi. I got to keep saying Beck Taxi, not Beck's. Beck's is the imported beer. It's Beck Taxi out of Toronto, and we're having their operations manager, Christine Hubbard, is going to join us here probably 5 minutes or so, I'm guessing. She's going to join the show. We're going to talk about Beck Taxi and what they're doing up there in Toronto. From all indications, they seem to be surviving the Uber onslaught. better than most up there. And we all like good examples of the taxi industry here, because we here in North America, we don't seem to handle it the same way they do especially in London and other parts of the world. It's more of a part-time, casual job here in this country, it seems like, and we've kind of let Uber roll in and take over without as much as a whimper in most areas in this country. And I think that from what I've seen here, it looks like Beck Taxi has done a great job in at least staying viable, staying relevant in this particular culture. If you also want to join in a conversation, it's simple. You just find Radio TFI on Skype, ring in. This high-tech radio station will actually answer your call right away, because we don't have fancy call screeners and all the like. Yes, as Ed likes to say, this is big-time professional radio right here on Radio TFI. So while we await Christine, well, guess what? We won't have to await any longer. So here is, we'll bring her up into the picture here. Christine, are you there? Christine, are you there? Oh, goodness, goodness, goodness. Christine, can you hear me? Do me a favor, Christine. Go to video and give me a thumbs up if you can hear me. She can hear me, but I cannot hear her. Give me one. Well, that's funny, because I did a test on this myself earlier and it was working. Unbelievable. I am embarrassed. Yeah, you know what? We're going to have to do this the old-fashioned way. Yeah, go ahead and call me on that phone number that I gave you. And we're just basically going to have to do this via speakerphone, I guess. So while we wait for that to happen, she's going to call the number. And I'm waiting for my phone to ring. There it is. And there we are. Christine, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, goodness. How you doing?
I am well, thank you. How are you?
I am great. Sorry about the issue there. I don't, I swear to God, I did test this out about a half an hour ago, and it seemed to work just fine.
It's all good. Yeah, I'm not worried about it as well. That's why I always ask for a phone number. I know Skype, it just feels like, you know, there are often issues, so I always want to make sure I have a phone number. You said 1010, right? I know I'm a little bit early, but
that's fine. Ed is decided that he didn't want to add to the technical glitches, so he's going to wait and call me after we get done speaking here. As he's okay. He thought about going straight to Toronto as long as he was driving, but
that's an option. It's a beautiful day here, I'll tell you that.
It is, you know, and we don't have a monster storm up here in the Northland bearing down on us. So
exactly.
Life is good.
Exactly. Life is good.
So, Christine, give us just a brief history, if you would, about Beck Taxi. Now, you've been around in the Toronto area for quite a long time, I take it.
That's right. This year we're celebrating 50 years operating in the city of Toronto. It was started by my grandfather, who was a taxi driver. In fact, both of my grandfathers and my dad actually were all taxi drivers at some point or another. And, so 50 years, it started out as a small fleet in the east end of the city, and now we cover the whole of Toronto, border to border. I think we're the only ones who can really say that, with about 2,100 vehicles in the fleet.
Oh, my goodness, 2,100. 2,100 vehicles, and you cover the entire area.
We cover the entire city of Toronto, border to border. We can get you 5-minute service.
And because it was you got involved because of the family connections, or have you kind of always had an affection for the industry, or?
Both, absolutely both. When I was quite young, my grandfather passed away. My mother took over. She became the general manager of Beck in the mid-80s, and it's based on her leadership that we've seen all of this growth, and I started working there 25 years ago.
Oh my goodness.
As a teenager, and I had the idea that I was going to do other things. I wanted to be a lawyer. I thought, wow, I'll have this great client, but then I realized, you know, all I wanted to do was be at that office and participate and support, and I just love the people. So you don't really have a choice. I think at some point you just go sort of where your heart is, and that's it.
And so now, do you have these quite a few drivers? I'm assuming that are you shifting cabs there, or does everybody drive their own owner operators, or how does that work for you there?
So we have about a half and half split. Beck Taxi doesn't own any of the taxis. What we are really is a marketing company for small businesses that happen to be taxis. Some are owned by fleet operators, so they may have, they'll have multiple vehicles. And they're sort of the entry point to the industry for drivers. This is where you'd rent shifts, day or night shifts. And then the other half, I'd say maybe a little bit more than half, and we're seeing sort of a trend to this, that more people are buying their own taxis, operating their own vehicles, driving their own cars.
Yeah. Well, and that seems to be the picture that is this, I guess maybe I should ask, is this the way a lot of companies up in Toronto and more specifically in Canada operate?
In Toronto, yes. In Canada, you know, there's definitely a mix. There are a lot of cities in Canada where the taxi company owns the vehicles and sort of rents the cars and all that. We've just not ever participated in that side of the business. The City of Toronto licenses the vehicles and licenses the drivers, and we hope that they do this when they have their own sort of taxi or business, that they'd shop around and see which company, if any, that they'd like to sort of join or sign up with. And we hope they choose Beck, but, you know, competition is good, and we've got some other companies in our city, and some drivers choose to remain independent.
I've always been a believer in as a driver, being a part of the company that has the most business, the most call business. It's all good and fine to be a independent like that and build up your own personals and whatnot, but I'd much rather have somebody that's going out there and doing the grunt work as far as landing customers, landing accounts, and so forth. And it sounds to me like you kind of got that down.
I think so. I mean, we have very loyal corporate clients, and we are opening. You know, on the other side of it, actually, our sort of non-account but call-in business. So, you know, we were built on taking seniors to their appointments and taking people to the grocery store and doing those the short runs that maybe other companies were not as keen on. You know, there seemed to be this, desire to get more corporate accounts, and sort of putting the residential work in the back burner. But we've seen that, the backbone of our business has always been, you know, the people who are calling on demand, who don't necessarily have an account, and being loyal to those people. And in fact, it ends up being that those are the people who connect us with a lot of the companies that open corporate accounts with us.
Yes, and it's still the bread and butter of the industry, and it's a shame that there are still some to this day, there are still some drivers that just completely refuse to do that type of work.
That's really sad, and I think we're really working on building that sort of sense of community. mean, the idea that you might be picking up your neighbor, you know, I think is a really important thing to remember. And you might be refusing your neighbor. So, you know, when you think about how you'd want your own family members or your own friends to be treated in the case that they needed to get home safely, you know, I really think that has translated into us being able to sort of build a team mentality and you know, knowing that people are out there, they need this service, and we're here, to provide it, and
that's
a lot of fun.
Well, as Ed is escaping Hurricane Irma here, he might have to make it up to Toronto. So, give us an idea what you need, what the city requirements, and what you require in order to drive for Beck Taxi.
So, the first thing you have to do is get your City of Toronto taxi driver's license. That is something that now, unfortunately, is a very quick business. So basically, you know, you can attend the city offices and show a very basic criminal background check, you know, you're good to go, basically. And it used to be that the city had a 5-week training course that would provide drivers with the tools, at least, you know, a jumping off point as far as, you know, customer service and driver safety and all of that. So we've had to, in the end, create our own. Just last year, the city canceled that. So now we partnered with a college in the city of Toronto, Centennial College, a very well-known, respected education center here. We designed with that college a 1-week training, including defensive driving, in-car defensive driving, which the city had never done. So we now, not only with that license, you must as well have your Centennial College certificate, sort of taxi 101. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, if you're bringing your own vehicle in, that vehicle must be licensed by the city, must be branded, painted and branded in the Beck sort of decals. And, you know, we have an additional training course in-house that they must take as well. So there is a lot of getting to know the lay of the land. There's a lot of, you know, really training is so important because confident drivers, I'd say, make more money, and well-educated drivers in terms of how to work in this business, because it's not easy. That's how you're going to make your money, and we require all of that training before you start.
So it's not quite the knowledge, but it still should be enough to get your average driver at least pointed in the right direction.
That's right. Yeah, I think, you know, it's what's best for our company, it's what's best for the person doing the work, it's what's best for all of the other drivers, because it was really interesting, and I was really happy to see it when the City of Toronto dumped their training course, which I think is probably the most, irresponsible thing I've ever imagined happening. It was drivers who were saying, you know, come on, don't let these new drivers who are not trained work with Beck, and, you know, right away, of course, we said, there's no way. That's not going to happen. Mm. There was some pushback in the industry. You know, people wanted to be able to drive without training, but I would have quit long before I let that happen.
Yeah. So why did this training go away? Was it to accommodate a certain predator that we all know and hate?
Oh, absolutely. It was the Uber bylaw, basically, is, you know, the best way to put it. It was directly after a couple of years of review of our entire industry that really had a focus on, you know, accessibility goals and the ambassador program that our city had introduced here years before, that was completely a failed program at the, you know, the whim of council. So we were seeing that people were understanding and listening more to what we had to say about the industry and how to do a better job serving our city. Well, you know, they did a bad job that day. And then right after, initiated the how do we let Uber stay while making it look like we're giving the taxi industry some concessions in order to make it look fair. Mm-hmm. And one of those things was, well, Uber doesn't do any training, so we won't make the taxi drivers provide or have any training. And it just was, again, the most irresponsible thing I've ever seen. They literally, without notice, people were actively taking the city's course, and they sent them home literally the day after council voted.
Yeah. I
it was shameful.
Yeah. And they've done some similar things here in Minneapolis as well. They've tried to appease the taxi industry, and while we supposedly turn the other cheek, they've allowed taxis. It used to be the taxi could be no older than 7 model years. Now they've raised that to 10 model years.
Wow.
Yeah. So they've done, and the taxi industry as a whole basically said, well, okay, but it's going to wind up leading to the demise of the taxi industry, because anybody that's been in this business knows well enough that if you have a vehicle that's already 7, 8, 10 model years old, and then you put all those miles on it, it's going to wind up being a hunk of junk. And
absolutely. And it, you know, it's so interesting to me that politicians and regulators around the world, and I just really am very just embarrassed for all of them, basically. But,
yes.
To make a 10-year lifespan for a taxi is, you know, under the banner of technology and innovation, all they've done is turn back the clock to when regulation was introduced in the first place.
Yes.
Literally, the reason why it was made in our city used to be 5 years. 5 years is as old as a taxi could be, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. We saw beautiful cars, well-maintained cars. Our residents were enjoying that service. And taxi drivers, because business was good and everyone was following the rules, that was a manageable lifespan for them as well. But and the reason that they introduced that minimum year or sort of maximum life was because they were hunks of junk. But here we are, finding ourselves exactly where we were years and years ago when everyone was screaming about bad taxis.
Yes, indeed. So Ed had a couple questions that he sent me. One, he's being a smartass, but he asked if you have to speak Canadian in order to drive a cab in Toronto.
Well, I'm not sure exactly what that means. I would suggest that speaking Canadian, I think, you know, 80 languages maybe are spoken.
Yes.
In our company, but the city of Toronto required an English language component. They suggest that they're still requiring that, but there's no test that they're administering or any kind of, you know, process by which they're determining that a person can communicate in English language enough to provide this service in a, you know, meaningful way, in a way that, you know, provides the service that we want to provide. But I would say it's not really been a problem. There have been a few cases where I think drivers have been licensed who are, you know, they don't have the required English skills, but I haven't seen where it's come to a point that they can't do the job. Not yet.
Yes. And I suppose that kind of, again, got weeded out with the whole training thing. I mean, it was obvious a driver couldn't communicate in English, or at least to a point where he was able to communicate. I mean, I understand that
they wouldn't have passed.
Yeah,
no, absolutely not. Actually, their course, and you know, I'll give them this. I wouldn't suggest that they were, you know, teaching all of the most useful things. I'd say there was a lot of, you know, useless information being given to drivers while the city was providing that course. But no, if you were not able to communicate orally and in writing in the English language, you would never have passed that test. So it's a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as soon as the city's rules changed, we had people come into our office looking to be licensed, and they'd come with an interpreter.
Oh, good.
And the interpreter would say, yeah, my friend wants to drive one of your taxis. And we were just like, what is happening?
Oh. Did you find yourself just laughing out loud, or?
Pardon me?
I said, did you find yourself just laughing out loud when that kind of? Oh, my God.
There have been some really, you know, and you know, laughing, but almost in a way that just is sad. You know, there's this abandonment that, you know, in their mandate, the City of Toronto's mandate is consumer protection and public safety. And the idea that they completely abandoned that mandate with these rules that they created. And mostly, you just think, now this person wants a job, and he believes that he's going to be able to do this job because someone has told him that, well, you don't have to do anything to be a taxi driver. You can just be one. Hmm. And all it does, actually, it's sad because a profession, that's what taxi driving is. You talked about, you know, London's black cabs and the knowledge. This is a respected profession where people who work hard can make a living, and in the city of Toronto, the message from them was, it doesn't matter, anyone can do it, so just,
yeah,
you know, we're not going to be involved anymore.
That's crazy. You know, that's one of the things that Ed and I have deep respect for the London taxi industry, and I can understand how taxi setups in this country and probably in North America in general have been a little blasé about the industry, and maybe have, you know, there. I remember when I first started driving a cab 34 years ago, that's pretty much what they did, is they handed me the keys. You go out and figure it out yourself. And I am glad they don't do that anymore, trust me.
Well, this is it. And 34 years ago when they did that, it's, you know, as time goes on and we learn those hard lessons and we understand what's involved in doing the job and we understand that, you know, in Toronto in particular, we're living in a city with, you know, vast types of, you know, what people need, what they expect, the kinds of service that we're providing. It's not, you're not just dropping someone off from A to B.
No.
You know, there's all kinds of communication and all kinds of assistance and all kinds of sensitivities that are you know, either learned or, you know, unfortunately, sometimes not.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've learned all these lessons. And then all of these cities, all of these regulators in, you know, the face of Uber have said, well, we don't care about any of that stuff anymore.
So have you done anything?
All of these important lessons we've learned.
Have you been doing anything specifically to fight back against Uber, or are you just trying to promote yourself and hope for the best?
You know, I think there's, you know, it's definitely a two-pronged approach. When Uber arrived in Toronto in 2012, we had already launched our taxi ordering app. I had been in San Francisco at a taxi convention, no less, and had, you know, understood. We had talked about introducing an app. Someone in our marketing sort of department had said to me, you know, you guys should, we should have an app to order back taxis. Went to San Francisco, saw that Uber was there, sadly noticed that no one else cared. Came back, launched our app, decided to compete before we complained. So that's the second, you know, we had a choice. We could complain or we could compete.
Absolutely.
First and foremost, yeah, get our ducks in a row, make sure we, when we do complain, that we can show that we've done everything that Uber has done and more.
Exactly.
And we did that, but our city didn't care. Hmm. Everything that Uber says it does, everything that Uber said it represented in terms of a business model is the exact same thing that Beck has always done. We're a platform by which people are connected to taxis and drivers are connected to customers.
I see. Can you give us an idea?
Yeah.
Give us an idea of some of, you've been in this for a long, long time yourself. What are some of the joys and conversely sorrows of what you do?
It's people, both things. I mean, you know, you get to know the most amazing, hardworking, genuine, brilliant people in this business, and people from all over the world who've been through the best and the worst things. Some of them are authors, and some of them are field doctors during wartime, and some of them, you know, just the richness of the experiences. And I do find that in the taxi industry, we're our own culture that is, you know, that has all of these other cultures that make it up, and it's beautiful. And I'd say the people are the reason why I stay, but the saddest and the sorrows as well, especially watching some of the injustice. I think that was the hardest part about the Uber scenario. Here are people, you know, the taxi industry, I'm not sure if it's the same where you are, but it is the one of the original immigrant stories. You know, people who couldn't get jobs other places have always been able to find a place in the taxi industry, whether for the short term or the long term. And they came here, a lot of them, because where they came from, rules didn't matter. And so when they were here and they'd established their businesses, they'd established themselves as taxi owners and were proud of it and, you know, offering great service, our own city, our own government, suddenly rules didn't matter anymore. And you can't imagine the heartbreak, I'm sure you can imagine.
Yes.
The heartbreak, the frustration, the confusion, the sadness, the anger, all of those feelings. And when you're sitting across from someone who has invested their entire life, who, you know, followed all the rules, did everything that the city said, and then was just being tossed out with the trash.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest thing.
Yeah, it is, and unfortunately, it seems like it's that way worldwide. I mean, I follow drivers in London, obviously, but also in Australia and other places where it's pretty much the same story everywhere. Yes, there's always been bad apples in this industry. Ed and I did a show a couple of weeks ago, where we took a long, hard look in the mirror at this industry and what we could possibly do to make things better, to try to compete in this industry. And from what I've seen watching on Twitter and just kind of watching from afar, Beck Taxi is definitely employing some of those very ideas that we came up with.
Absolutely. You know, it's so important because we can throw stones and we can point fingers at what everybody else is doing, but if we're not doing the best job we can do, if we're not really trying really hard to do everything we can to offer a great service, to be a place that, you know, drivers can make a decent living, I mean, we have nothing to complain about if we're not doing those things.
Absolutely.
And so it's a really interesting time. You know, we are in a position where we've never been busier, frankly.
Nice.
We've never been busier. People are happy. Drivers are happy. But it will never take away that sense of, regardless of how things are. And, you know, I think, and my mom always says this to me, people want to be on the side of the winner. And so we're always, you know, we always want to promote how well things are going. We want to promote the good job that drivers do and all the compliments we get and all the great stories that there are. We're going to continue to do that. But there will always be that sense that we did it in spite of our city. We did it in spite of our municipal government, in spite of our regulator that has enjoyed a taxi service that has done an amazing job for this city at no cost to them.
Oh, preach! I'm telling you,
that
preach!
Will never go away.
Oh, it's fabulous. I got to ask you something for Ed, and it seems like I'm just taking a sharp left turn here because he asked me to ask this of you earlier. But in your dispatch system, it sounds like you might have four different channels. Are you doing computer dispatch, or is it just the voice on the side type thing?
So we did strictly radio dispatch using 12 radio frequencies until about 2.5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized that as we were getting busier, we were not going to, you know, when your dispatchers turn into auctioneers,
yes,
and have no time to take a breath, and no matter how many radio frequencies you have, it's just not going to help. We realized that we needed to go to computer dispatch, which we had partially done, but that was only on the call center side.
Mm-hmm.
The orders would come up, it would be confirmed, the order would be sent to the dispatcher who was, you know, working in the specific geographic area of that order, but then they would dispatch it over the radio.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that you had to do one or the other. It was either all radio or complete computerization without any radio communication.
Mm-hmm.
So we decided to build our own software, which was the best and the worst thing I've ever done in my entire life. I probably lost 10 years off my lifespan. But 2.5 years later, we have built driver apps, customer asks, our own end-to-end dispatch software, and it's been built around our radios. We have 13 radio frequencies. Mm-hmm. We have constant communication for safety reasons, obviously, but also for conversation and, you know, important messages. But we also have the orders going out by GPS on computers to tablets in the cars.
Yeah. You're using tablets in the cars, huh?
Yep.
Fantastic.
Yes, it was a cold February when, frankly, my husband was in the parking lot and we installed all the tablets ourselves. We programmed them all ourselves. And at the time, we had just under 2,000 vehicles. And to change from radio, we had an 82-year-old taxi driver, to change from radio dispatch to installing tablets was... I can't actually describe it, but it's amazing now. We have the best of both worlds. Gail does her radio shows on a regular basis. I get to dispatch every morning. If I couldn't speak to drivers, I wouldn't even want to dispatch.
Oh, I love it. I absolutely love it. We've gone here in the Twin Cities. We've gone to total digital dispatch to the point where there is no radio communications.
I hate it.
There's part of it, and I've actually did some time as a radio dispatcher myself, so I do miss that element of it. But I will tell you that there are some times where I like it because it's just nice and quiet.
Sure, of course. I mean, you don't have to use the radio. That's the beauty of it. You don't have to use the radio all the time. It's not sort of that. And the job of a dispatcher has changed.
You're more of an electronic babysitter now, pretty much, aren't you?
Right. Well, and it's, you know what it is? It's more than that. I sit down in the morning and I say, good morning, everyone. And then all I hear is, good morning, Christy, good morning. And it's all, nice. You know, I sort of feel like, okay, now we're engaged. Now we can start going. I'm dispatching orders that no one, you know, everyone's in line. Getting the orders as they've booked in, they're getting the first order. There's like a transparency to it. They know that I'm the one sending those orders out. They know that I'm doing it exactly the way they want me to. And I can say, hey, you know what, there's a road closure over here, or this is what's been going on at City Hall, or, you know, Beck Taxi is sponsoring this or partnering with that, or the official taxi of the Toronto International Film Festival. There's a motivation.
That is a great thing. That is a great idea. I might have to pass that message along to our CEO. I happen to be lucky enough to have his ear on some days. So
you should. It's wonderful. And I'll say to you though, the moment that word emergency comes across frequency, everything stops. Everything stops. And very often, because it's an open frequency, the other drivers hear, and before we can even get through or have the police there, other taxi
drivers
are on
already,
it,
yep.
Supporting each other, you know, making sure that everything's okay. So there is, you know, even just for that reason, while I'm around, we will never get rid of our radios.
Well, you know, congratulations to you. Sometimes we can get a little bit too caught up in our technology. You know, I love the tablets for the very sake that if I have to get up and take care of something out of the taxi, if I'm parked on a stand or just parked in a parking lot someplace waiting for a call, I can take that. I can actually take my tablet with me and take care of business. Come back to the car, and if I'm not missing anything.
That is very generous. Yeah, we do not, our tablets don't come out of the cars at all.
Yeah.
We've managed to maintain some of our old rules. If you're booked in and you're so-called ready for a trip, you got to be ready.
Yeah. We don't condone, you know, going out and, we don't condone, you know, going out and having lunch, and then when you get the car, you know, to just sit and finish your lunch, and you know, but what we do, one of the things that I've noticed with this industry, and I'm living proof of it, when I first started doing this, I weighed about 220 pounds and had a full head of hair, and 34 years later, I had ballooned up to as high as 315, and it's a lot of it is because it's a sedentary job. And so,
oh, for sure. Sitting is the new smoking.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things that I've noticed with this tablet is that it does, you know, hey, get out of the car, walk around the car a couple times, you know, go walk a couple blocks in one direction. You know, if you get a call, you can run back to your car and take care of it. But it is allowing drivers to get out and stretch their legs a little bit without having to worry about missing business. But
for sure. I mean, I guess what we try to do is just, you know, make sure opening the doors for your passengers. Get out and knock on the door. Don't call people when you get there. And when I'm on the radio, and Gail, my mom is the same way, just, hey, you know, drink lots of water, get out of the car, walk around the car, give it a, you know, get your sort of chamois out and give it a shine, you know, get out of your car. It's a life or death now, I think, at this point. I really believe that sitting is the new smoking, and we just really need to encourage drivers to get out and stretch their legs, like you say, and for sure that's an important message.
Exactly. Well, Christine, I really want to thank you for joining us. Thank you for putting up with our technical glitch here, and again, in big-time radio here, you know.
It's all good.
Well, you know.
It's all good, yeah.
I thank you for pointing out the plan B, by the way, of getting my phone number.
I always have a plan B, just in case.
Exactly. Well, Christine, thanks again. Best of luck to you. And we get to Toronto again, we'll definitely drop by. Ed is already up through Tennessee right now. He's making a beeline, so you might see him by Tuesday morning. So.
Okay through all this. What an experience this must be.
We definitely have our prayers out to the people in Florida. I have a friend of mine that I went to school with that is trying to hunker down in the Florida Keys, and I you know, he's a grown man. I can't tell him, you know, listen, you can't do that, but we're definitely thinking of him.
I think there are a lot of people who are going to try to ride it out, and, you know, they're adults, they're grown people, and they make their own decisions, but you just wish they would have gotten out of there, but hopefully everyone's going to be okay. I hope your friend's okay.
All right, Christine Hubbard, thanks again for joining us. I'd hope to be able to reach out to you sometime in the future here.
Great. Well, thank you again. It was my pleasure. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Take care.
Yep. Well, now if she could hear the applause button here, but I don't know if she can, so we're just going to do that. Fabulous. Thanks again to her for joining us here. And I'm going to fumble around here for a second while I try to find out why the hell all of a sudden the Skype connection didn't work. So, my goodness, everything there. Ed, if you're listening, go ahead and try calling in. I might wind up having to put you on the same way I put Christine on. If you do want to join in the conversation, you can try us on Skype. I'm not sure if you'll be able to get through, but I don't know. I tell you.
You're not going to continue this broadcast, are you, sir?
Now I don't know. That went through. So, anyways, I'll wait for Ed to join me. In the meantime, let's, and there he is again. How about that for a cue? Let's try it here now. Ed, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
And it sounds like you can hear me too.
I can. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. So tell us here, whereabouts are you?
Well, we're westbound on I-10. But before I go any further with that, I want to say that was a great interview. I'm really, really sorry I cannot be part of it. I've wanted to speak to that young lady for quite some time. And, Christine, I just want to say, your husband is, I'm sure, is a wonderful man. I want to marry you. I have fallen in love with you. I am smitten beyond belief. I will even tolerate the brutal cold that is the Great White North.
Oh my!
Great, the one. She was fabulous. That was. She made some excellent points. We should all have a plan B. And by the way, here's where we are right now. We are eastbound on I-10, approaching I-95. We are inside the Jacksonville city limits, which, by the way, encompasses all of DeVoe County. We are heading for 95. We're going to go north. We're heading up towards Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Now, because I have been riveted to the taxi stand hour here on Radio TFI, I have not gotten any updates, so I don't know what else has changed. By the way, your friend is an idiot for staying in the Keys.
We've tried to tell him. We've got several people that most everybody that went to school together there does. A lot of them still live in this part of the country, and I saw on his latest Facebook post, he had at least a dozen people that were imploring him to get the hell out of Dodge, because I tell you, it's a scary thing. And I take it you're not going to make it to Toronto. I had her looking forward to your arrival up there.
Well, I am now. I'm smitten, man.
Oh.
I don't speak Canadian, but I'll learn.
Oh.
I tell you, doesn't that not sound like about the ideal way to do things? Isn't that pretty much what it sounded like we were talking about a couple weeks ago?
What really, really endeared me to her was the idea of keeping the radios simply for communication purposes. Just so your drivers can touch base mm-hmm. with each other and the company. And, I was having some technical problems on my end because of where we are. It was cutting in and out. But I got the gist of it. And the idea that drivers will still come to help each other out and be there before the police is, it's very endearing to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because we used to do the same thing back when I was a much younger and handsomer cab driver back in the days. You remember when you rode a dinosaur.
I was going to say horse and buggy, but oh, good Lord, good Lord, good Lord. So
let me tell you what we've learned on our adventure here.
Okay.
Number one, we learned to turn down our speaker volume, John. I was hearing myself there.
Well, that's a good thing.
Well, I got other voices in my head competing for the space.
Yeah, you don't need the extra. No space available in the inn, as you said earlier.
Right. As right now, it is raining. It is drizzling. Mike King, sitting next to me, is in a mild panic because he believes any moisture is a hurricane.
No, I don't.
This is coming down in a straight line. There's no name. We're good.
Yeah.
Anyway, where was I? I was about to go on about something. I have no earthly idea what it was.
Oh, that happens. Oh, just to fill you in, it looks like right now Irma is giving the north end of Cuba kind of a buzz cut right now. So it's just kind of grazing Cuba. It looks like it's going to be Sunday morning before it actually makes landfall in the Keys. So you've done well to get yourself enough of a head start to get out of there. It looks more and more like Miami might be grazed at the most, but still nobody is suggesting that people start venturing down to the east coast of Florida by any imagination.
Now bear in mind what the east coast, the southeast coast, Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Dade, Broward, Palm Beach counties, what they're about to experience is what's known as the dirty side of the storm.
Okay, do tell.
Which is bad. This is where all the bad thunderstorms, the rain, if you looked at the hurricane, cut it into four quadrants, it's the upper right-hand corner. That's, I, other than the eye wall, that's where you don't want to be. And this is exactly where they're going to be. It is going to be a miserable 12 to 18 hours for them. They're not out of the woods, not by any stretch of the imagination. You're right. This is not look at this. Everything's going to be fine. A hurricane is not a dot on a piece of paper. It's not a dot on a line. This bitch is about 400 miles wide.
Well,
go ahead.
It's still wider than the entire Florida Peninsula.
Well, the peninsula is only 120 miles wide.
Well, yeah, this, yeah, it's, yeah. So
actually, exactly.
Actually, the cloud and whatnot where we are, I wouldn't be surprised if this was one of the initial outer bands, although it's not moving. So,
I don't. Looking at the map and the sat and the radar picture I'm actually looking at right now, I don't think so. I just think it's a scattered, just a scattered shower. So tell your friend to take a pill and.
He
already took the pill, huh?
Yeah. Well, we are literally right now, we're getting onto I-95.
Okay.
North. Within about 10-15 minutes, we will be into Georgia. So, you know, we are well on our way to being out of here. But again, going back to, it is not close to being safe to go back in that area. Not until this thing passes. Most storms come across the state. For instance, if it came in straight off the Atlantic and it hits Dade and Broward County, well, heck, I could stay here in Jacksonville, get some wind and rain, and be heading back down in 12 hours.
Yeah, but, well, I remember Charlie. Charlie came in from basically from the Tampa area and then basically followed the I-4 corridor up through there, through Orlando, and then basically exited out through Daytona.
Exactly.
But it's
nothing to mess with. By the way, we are passing through beautiful downtown Jacksonville right now.
Ah.
By the way, are you aware that Jacksonville is the largest city in the United States?
Do tell.
Land area wise.
Oh, land area, not population, obviously.
Years ago, they incorporated the city. They incorporated all of Duval County. Mm-hmm. When you enter the county, you see two signs. Welcome to Duval County. Welcome to Jacksonville. It is one and the same.
Huh.
Land-wise, they have the most. It's the largest city.
I see.
Downtown, you blink and you miss it, but we're blinking and missing it right now.
Well, missing would entail wanting to see it to begin with, so.
Yeah, so we are officially on Interstate 95 northbound now.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we have Gilchrist. God's other son, the cooler Christ brother. Riding on his shoulder. For those of you on Radio TFI who are not aware of it, Mike and I found our new savior yesterday, Gilchrist. Again, God's other son and Jesus's cooler brother, Gil. Gil has guided us on our way. Gil has provided us with fuel at the proper time. Gil has a strange way of doing things, though, Gilchrist.
Do tell.
He uses the sign of 269.
269.9.
When we see 269.9, which, by the way, is the price of a gallon of gas everywhere in the friggin' state, we know Gilchrist is with us.
Oh.
Gilchrist guided us. Gilchrist is, again, he's just Jesus' cooler brother. And I am the conduit through which Gilchrist speaks.
Oh, okay. Well, we all know what happens when we start dealing with conduits, so be careful there.
Well,
let's talk about a couple of headlines.
By the way, one more thing.
Okay.
I need to introduce my traveling companion here.
Okay.
Mike King, say hello to the Radio TFI.
Hello, everybody at TFI Radio.
Hello. Hello, Mike.
The night show at one point, so. But Mike has been with me. Mike has put me up at his place, and with all my troubles and travails, and we have made a little quest and a little adventure out of this.
And you haven't killed him yet there, Mike?
Thought about it, but no.
Anyways, let's cover let's take it just a couple quick headlines here while we've got about 6 minutes to go here, according to my handy clock.
Nice job on the open.
Oh yeah, I wasn't even sitting at the table. All of a sudden, I heard the music playing. I hadn't turned on the server yet. So
anyway, go ahead.
Oh my. Anyway, so one of the things that I probably found the funniest is, of course, earlier in the week, Rush Limbaugh, we all know who he is,
said that Hurricane Irma was just a liberal hoax. And guess who was one of the first ones to get the hell out of Dodge?
Yeah, because his show is based out of, what state is that?
That's right.
Florida.
The Southern Command. I really, you know, I hate to say this because it's not very godly of me. But, you know, okay.
Bill Christ will forgive you.
Other than hoping that this hurricane would take a sharp left and head towards North Korea and put that prick out of his misery, that could be one place that that Irma could kind of just turn into toothpicks and I wouldn't feel too horribly bad about. So,
what's the name of this
place, baby? Mar-a-Lago. That's,
that's another spot there, too. But here's the thing. With Trump, you know, if Mar-a-Lago goes, that's just a tax write-off. He's got plenty.
What tax side will
John,
pay him anyway?
Just so you know, you're starting to cut in and out on my end. We're in a heavy rainstorm here. So
okay.
If you look at me, just so you know.
Yeah, I gotcha. No problem. So, a couple other things that I saw here. A slain Uber driver's family is pushing now for a safety feature, basically a shield, a temporary shield to be able to be placed in all Uber vehicles.
Exactly. It's amazing. Nobody ever thought of that. Oh, wait a second. They did. We've thought of that before.
Once
again, what are we describing? A taxi.
Oh, of course. They're just becoming... they're just becoming more and more. They're just a taxi company with just a little way different way of doing things. And as soon as they, and don't kid yourself, I've said this time and time again, that once Uber succeeds, or if that happened, if Uber succeeded in putting the taxi industry under all they, you know, the first thing they would do is just jack the rates, and they would just be the nation's taxi. Company, basically.
Absolutely. I think Christine nailed it. Among all the other things, my she nailed it when she said, all we're doing now is going back to pre-regulation. That is all that
she's absolutely
done.
She was absolutely right.
That's why she is going to be my wife. She is smart. She is intelligent. She knows her stuff.
Turn your turn signal off, will you?
I'm trying. He keeps taking his seatbelt off and trying to get out of the car.
Oh, open up the door and accommodate him, I guess, if that's...
Get close. Understand this is live radio.
Yes, well, you know what? Then we'll get hella ratings if that's what happens, I guess.
Well, there is that, too.
Yes.
There is that, too.
Gilchrist
will protect him.
Taxify in London has already stopped operating in London. So supposedly Taxify actually is charging less than Uber, if you can believe that.
Yeah, you know what that equates to? Walking.
Oh, yeah, pretty much. But you know, it's funny. You don't know which. You know, they use the excuse that there were some questions about Taxify. There were questions on how they were operating and what have you. You're not kidding me. Uber is so deep into local politicians' pockets there. That is the only reason that was squashed there.
It is becoming, especially in London, it is becoming embarrassingly evident, the corruption. I mean, just the amount of documentation that's coming out now that, I mean, you can be a... had never heard of the taxi industry before and still figure out relatively quickly something's not right here, and somebody's got their hand where it doesn't belong, and it ain't Gilchrist.
It's not. Well, you recognize that sound, I take it. Do you recognize that sound?
I'm in a heavy rainstorm, John.
Oh, okay. Well, anyways, that's our cue. We have to take off out of here, so...
I can't hear you.
Okay, buddy. Well, it's time to say goodbye.
To the taxi stand.